You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So, where are we? We're at the end. Whew, we got there to removing the shadow of sin. It's been 15 weeks. We've had 4 visitors so far. And there were 9 topics, including an introduction. So this is the final message in this series on removing the shadow of sin. It was great actually hearing how different people, the people I invited to come and speak as visiting speakers, were to come and share their story. For some of those, they were overcomers. They had really difficult things in their lives and they had overcome those things. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they haven't got the scars or the wounds, but they were overcomers. And I think that was really key. And actually, to conclude this series, if it was on the telly now, if it was the end of the year, and they're going to do this at the end of the year, aren't they going to look back over 2018? These are all the things that happened. So I thought it was just right to really just sum up the messages. So if you haven't been here for all of them, I'm actually going to give you a whistle-stop tour of where we've been over these last 10 weeks or 9 weeks and then 10th week here. So we can ask God again, just to any of those words that we picked up, we went, oh yeah, I remember when you spoke to me, God. Will you fan that into flame again in my life? Now, some of these things are challenges to us, and they maybe challenge some of the things we've believed over many years. But I don't know about you, I love it when I get that fresh revelation of God's word, when I press into that, and it's not about my thinking, but it's about what God says, and we see him open that up to us. How does that apply to our personal lives? And for many of us, that can be in our homes, that could be our mission field, it might be in our office, it might be in other community groups that we meet up in. But how do we work out our faith? So I'm going to give a real quick recap on the removing of the shadow sin titles. They're just going to appear on the screen, and I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. If one catches your eye or catches your mind again, and you kind of go, oh, I wonder what that one was all about, just make a note of what the title was, and there will be some CDs available at the back, or you can go onto the website, and you can download them on there. But can you remember right back at the beginning, week one? It's already up on the screen. God removes the shadow of sin. And what do I mean about removing the shadow of sin? You know, there's some things in our lives where we can just run into them. Whatever they are, right at the beginning, I said, do you remember that thing? And actually, if there's something that weighs you down or there's something that seems to trap you every time, what is that thing? And sometimes we can just find ourselves, or the enemy comes in and he tries to use that thing to derail us. And actually, right back at the beginning, I said, God removes the shadow of sin, and that we need to walk the talk. We might actually say all these things, but do we walk the talk when things don't go necessarily the way we expected them to go? And sometimes as a result of our actions, there are consequences that we have to live with. And the question is, will we continue to press into God in spite of those situations? Do we press into God for all that he's calling us to do? And really, that was setting the foundation. If God, I mean, it's probably obvious stuff, this. If God isn't our foundation, then what is? If our trust isn't in Jesus, who he was, his death and resurrection, and that he alone, by his grace, has made a way for us to be saved from an eternity without him, then there can be no forgiveness of sin. So, of course, this point has got to be foundational. Of course, God is the one that removes the shadow of sin. But do we believe that? Do we know him? Do we know his son? And these worked out in a really nice kind of way, because moving on from God, the second week was vision. And I raised a question on week 2. How big is your vision? What are you imagining? And in closing that week, I challenged us to ask God, what are the new things I can do for your church today? Are you asking God to fill you with his vision and live by faith again to see what God can do through his church here, particularly in Tile Hill? Are you asking God to give you dreams and visions of the future? Well, the challenge was, are you dying in your past? Are you got dreams and visions of the future? What is it that God might do here? Or are you dying in the past and saying, well, it used to be like this and it's different now? We don't like change. None of us like change. Somebody says constant change is here to stay. What is your vision? What are you thinking? What is God saying to you? Do you have vision? Week 3 took us on to righteousness. Righteousness removes the shadow of sin. And a question for week 3 was, are my thoughts, actions, deeds, etc., driven by wickedness or righteousness? Do you remember that one? Do you remember that week? Are my thoughts and deeds, everything I do, driven by wickedness or righteousness? And of course you will say, well, it's definitely not driven by wickedness, Darren. Of course it's not. That's what we all want to say, isn't it? Of course I'm not wicked. But what does the Bible say about doing things right? And that was the week we looked at Isaiah 58. I had three ifs. What if we did away with the yoke of oppression? What if we did away with the pointing finger and malicious talk? What if we spent ourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfied the needs of the oppressed? And it was followed by a then, and I like my wells, as you know. Then we will be like a well-watered garden. So the call was to have vision, but we also to go. And go with what? Now, I use the three-legged stool, and I'm going to say this is a whistle-stop tour, so if you get half of this and go, I might need to go back and listen to the message. Go back and have a quick listen, but I just wanted to remember those things. Maybe it just prompts an image in your mind. But do you remember that three-legged stool I spoke about? In order to offer the good news, we need to have some context, and we needed three qualities of that stool. Can anybody remember what the three legs were? There's a challenge. They all began with S, or had S in them. First one was social action. We need to be doing stuff. If there's hungry, if there's oppressed, we need to be meeting that need. But also, we need to be meeting that need with really complicated Bible stuff that's full of theology and hermeneutics and all sorts of other things. No, we need to be meeting that social action with the simple gospel. Surely, the simple gospel, it's good news. So we do stuff, but it's got to have the good news attached to it. Otherwise, what's the point? We are genuinely cuddling people to hell, or we're genuinely feeding them up and making them look nice and putting clothes on their back and never sharing the good news. So we need social action, but we must need simple gospel. And in whose strength do we do it? Do I do it in my strength, or do I do it in God's strength? And the Bible talks about those signs and wonders, doesn't it? It talks about the power. You've heard it in our reading this morning. You know, the disciples, the apostles, they did amazing things and the people were amazed. Where are we seeing God's power turn up that the community says, wow, your God is powerful? Righteousness, God's power released. We don't have to do this on our own. That's the good news. Yeah, God says go. But if you remember, as I closed that week, we said, go, but where am I going? Am I going to a scary place where I've got to take God? No. Where is God? He's already there. God is already there. So when he says go, actually we're going to partner with him and meet him where he's already at. And we're going to be talking about going out into the estate and the community. God's not there. God is out there already. And you don't know, you might knock a door or speak to somebody in the street and God is already doing a work in their heart. And actually that connection's made and something happens and people are drawn. And we're not having to take God as some little package and say, here he is. He's already there. God says, come and join with me in that. Which takes us on to week 4, prayer. How do we know what God wants us to join in with? Good question. Well, that may seem obvious that we pray about it, but unless we communicate with God, unless we have that one-to-one relationship with him, unless we're seeing what he wants us to do, we are only going to be doing stuff in our own strength. We added a bit of fasting in there. If you want a little bit more about that, we're going to be talking about that as September comes up. But there can be power in our prayer. Do we believe it? And the message was actually built upon the previous week's one. We are instructed to confess our sins, receive healing from God, and live for Him, not for self. And that makes us a righteous person. James 5:16. I've still got a song in my head whenever I hear this. We had a kids' CD, and I mentioned it at the time. James 5:16. You know what I mean. There's power in the prayer. Every time I hear it, you know, these things get locked in, don't they? James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Question then, are we righteous? Are we living out this righteousness? What are we praying about? What is God saying? And my challenge that week was, I want to hear from you what God is saying. As an oversight, we want to hear from you. What is God saying? We want to catch that and we want to go with what He's saying. So if God speaks, it takes us on to our next week, week 5, obedience. If God speaks, are we going to do it? So big audible voice. I can't remember what the example was I gave. Now thou shalt go to McDonald's and have lunch. I mean, if God said it and it was a big booming voice, would you do it? I don't know about you, but I'm really forgetful. So I'd probably say, Lord, that was really good. Can you write it down for me so I don't forget? Stick your hand up in the air if you've got a Bible this morning. Go on, stick your Bible up in the air. Yeah. Okay, there's a few phones and stuff. You see, God's written it down for us. Are we obedient to it? There are many places where revival comes and people are walking around with their Bibles continually. Do we treasure God's word? If He writes it down, do we do it? When did you last pick your Bible up? And obedience, this was the cool thing, obedience isn't about following lots of rules, because you can say, oh, well, there's lots of rules in there. No, obedience is another beautiful gift that God gives to us. And when we get it, we get that little bit closer to God, a little bit more like His Son. That was the week I introduced the sandwich. Are you hungry for God? Are you attending things like the midweek sessions where iron sharpens iron? Are we serving together in God's love to spur one another on to good works? Or does the enemy shut you down and separate you off? I know what I know. I don't need to be challenged on that. I can sit and do that on my own. I don't need church. You have a choice. You'll either have a sandwich filling of self. I'm okay. I'm looking after me. I'm sorting this out. I'm okay. Or we'll have that sandwich filling of obedience. And if I haven't got to put it up on the screen this week, but it was that base of God's grace. God has done everything for us. And I'm obedient. And when I'm obedient to everything that God has given me, He gives me His power. And when that power comes, the top slice was that it gives glory back to God again. It's not about me. It's about giving glory back to God, to lift up the name of Jesus. Obedience removes the shadow of sin. Which then took us on to week 6. Am I keeping up with myself? I think I am. If I lose count, you tell me. Week 6, transformation removes the shadow of sin. And actually, one of the things we looked at that week was, is it gospel transformation versus moral change? That was a question that we put up. Is it gospel transformation or just moral change? Because moral change or moral goodness should never be our goal. We can probably think of plenty of people who are nice people, who are good people, who you say have very high morals. But for the Christian, our goal is to love God. And born from that deep understanding of His grace, which means that our actions, which may sometimes be good, or they may sometimes be not so good, we've all been there, they don't define how much God loves us. See, God loves us so much, not by my actions. If it depended on me, I'd have checked out ages ago. But God is good. He loves us so very much, and He paid a huge price to restore our relationship with Him. This builds upon the messages of all the previous weeks. If we want to live a transformed life, then we need a transformed heart. And the outwork in this transformed heart will then be set by those rhythms set by God's grace and our relationship with Him and what He's saying to us. And then that will be completed by His power and not mine. it's not about me anymore. If there's true gospel transformation, then I believe there's true understanding. And I really want a t-shirt, you know, it says, God hasn't finished with me yet. You know, when my unfinished side meets your unfinished side, it's never pretty. I'm not finished yet, but I've got a hunger. And that hunger is to see the lost saved. It stops becoming about me and what I need. If it was about me and what I need, I would be living on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean now. That sounds fab, doesn't it? Maybe it's a bit too hot down there. We maybe don't want the heat anymore. But if it was down to me and what I wanted, I would be pursuing my things. But actually, my heart is for the lost, and I want to see them saved. It becomes about God and others and not about me. Which sounds like that commandment, doesn't it? The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Which then took us on to week 7. One of the ways the devil attempts to shut God's work down or tries to shut God's work down is to try and shut God's people down. And this is a real clear week. If there is undealt sin in our lives, the enemy is quick to remind us. Therefore, we do need to deal with the things in our lives that shut us down. If we are to love like Jesus loved, if we are to follow him, we need to serve, learn to serve like him. Not because we're trying to earn favor with God. That part's already been sorted out. Let's just make that bit clear. This is not works because we want to be saved. We serve because of what Jesus has done already. It's not about clocking in. Point that week was participation isn't the goal here, but our spiritual passion and our personal growth is. And the question, are you still growing in Christ? Or do you think you've arrived now? If you think I'm okay and I've done it, there are 6 things the Lord hates, and he's used that word hates, 7 that are an abomination to him, says Solomon. And what's the first on the list? Pride. Pride is the first on the list. So whether we're washing the feet like Jesus did, whether we're cup bearer to the king, whatever we're doing, if we're serving like Christ, if we're sorting out the sin in our lives, serving removes the shadow of sin. And that brings us right up to where we were last week. So you've done a really good whistle-stop tour here of those last 8 or 9 weeks. The message last week, we're reminded by Paul that this life we've been called to should bring us joy. And despite many things we think we need or things we think we deserve, there's nothing better than serving Christ. And the message fitted really well with that well structure. I said I like my wells. For those that are new here, we have that structure where we recognize God's power, we connect with him, we trust him, we worship him. The outworking of that new found healing and forgiveness becomes natural evangelism. We've got W-E. The L, we learn to walk in obedience. We learn to be overcomers. That's the L in well. And the final L, finding our purpose in God's kingdom, living out what God has made us for. We get life. And actually, as I was putting this together this week, I looked over the last 10 weeks. I thought, do you know what? That actually fits into this model of well again. We started with God and we're finishing with living and living well. But we closed last week. I love those words. As we closed last week, we looked at rejoice, and one of those definitions in the dictionary for rejoice was be well and thrive. And that just tickled me pink because I was just like, wow, that's not what we've been saying since I first came, that we should be well, connect with God, live well. And our Sunday evening service is thrive. And it just tickled me. I know when you kind of look at some of these things, you couldn't make it up. That's why I think God's wonderful with this. Rejoice. Be well, thrive, repeat. Rejoice, be well, thrive, and repeat. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And that's where we finished last week. And this week, we're on the last part, which is living. Living removes the shadow of sin. And each week, I normally start it with a question. So let's close with a question too. What do you want out of this life? What do you want? If someone asks you that, ask anybody in the street, what do you want? It's probably one of those questions. What do you want out of this life? Are there still any plans to be completed? I'd love to sail around the world one day. What would you want to do? I think we can. Now, I've been down this route with my wife. I think evangelism in the Mediterranean on a yacht, sailing to different ports, I think there's something quite biblical in that. I don't mind sailing around Greece. I'm with you, Martin. I'm liking your thinking. I'll get you to have a chat with Nikki afterwards. But I'd love to sail around the world. I still have this passion. I want to sail around the world. I want to be in some big storms in the middle of the ocean, and I want to be in those quiet places where you're just like going, wow, is the wind ever going to come again? What's on your bucket list? Has anybody seen that film, The Bucket List? Yeah. I can't remember it all, so I'm not going to go there. But bucket list, what are those things before you kick the bucket? I did actually look up this week to see where that phrase comes from. It's funny when we get these phrases, isn't it? Kick the bucket. Actually, where it comes from. There's many different things, but I couldn't find one that seemed to be conclusive. But what's on your bucket list? Any of those things? I must do that before I go to be in glory. What do you want out of this life? Have you still got a head full of hopes and dreams? Or maybe you're dwelling on the regrets that have left you feeling accomplished. What do you want out of this life? Do you feel there's a calling on your life and you're not sure what it looks like? Maybe for some we're sat here this morning saying, oh, I'm dreaming of heaven. Lord, come quickly. To live is Christ, to die is gain, we said last week, didn't we? Paul was looking at that. To live is Christ, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, while I'm here, Lord, I want to bless these people while I'm here. But actually, to be with you is going to be far better. Maybe it's you're saying, Lord, I long for heaven, to be set free from the things of this world. I prayed with someone earlier in the week, and they were honestly a younger person, and they were saying, don't come to this church, so it's no one here. And they were saying, you know, I just want to be with Christ now. I've achieved all these things, but I just want to be with Christ now. And I'm like, but you're young and you've got so much more to do. But I just want to be with Christ now. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's change it up a gear a little bit. What does the Bible say, you would say, should our lives look like? Well, Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your gods. Now, he's speaking to Israel at this time, but I believe it applies to us too. Maybe he's saying a previous motto verse when we first came here. Matthew 6:33 records Jesus' words. Jesus saying, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. What is it that you're after? Are you after the stuff? Are you after God and then what he might bless you with? John also records Jesus' words, speaking of fruitful lives. Maybe our lives should look like this. Jesus again, he's saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We can try and do something, but it's really hard. Do you want God's power? Paul's letter to the Galatians spoke of the contrast of lives between those who will inherit the kingdom of God and those who will not. You'll have to turn in your Bibles with this one because I couldn't fit it all on the screen. But Galatians 5, if you've got your Bibles with you, you'll be able to follow. If not, why not? Come on, isn't it not precious to us? This is God's word. Galatians 5, 19-26, depending on what version you've got. I'm reading for the NIV UK. Make sure it's got all the U's in Saviour. Galatians 5, 19-26. The acts of the flesh are obvious. sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, we love this, don't we, is love, joy, it's in there, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Echoes of some of the previous messages. Obedience is not about law. You will find joy in this. There's no law against joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Let us not become conceited. Let us not become full of pride. If you want to flick back to Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans also says, chapter 12. Romans 12, right at the beginning, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, there's a good then, if you do this, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The scriptures from both the Old and New Testaments, to both Jew and Gentile, tell us how we should live. And generally, it's always moving towards God in some way, or God walking beside us. That the different terms are used, isn't it? But if we have our backs to God, particularly if we have to turn our backs to God to do the things that we want to do, that's sin. That separates us. And actually, the whole point of these messages and listening to some of this stuff as it comes together, even in my mind here this morning, I'm going, wow, that transformation, those words that we've used that remove the shadow of sin. Unless we're doing that, we're going to be running into the shadows again. If we have to turn our backs to do what we're doing, if we're saying, I hope God is not watching now, if we have to run into the shadows to do them, then this is sin. And we've got to call sin, sin. People change that word so many times and try and they don't want to talk about hell anymore. They don't want to talk about sin. And actually, it was pointed out at our midweek. Someone that was attracted to the church and was looking at the church at the time said what struck them was the fact that actually this series was called Removing the Shadow of Sin. And sin is sin. It's called what it is. And we live in a society now which thinks it's a sinless society. If you speak to folk that haven't come to church and haven't been brought up, they would not consider themselves to be sinners. They would not consider themselves to be in rebellion to God. Actually, there is no God, is there? Therefore, there's no falling short of God's standards, because if he doesn't exist, how can I fall short of a standard of a God who doesn't exist? Therefore, there is no sin. And if there is no sin, then there's no hell or there's no lake of fire. So I can do what I want. And it can be celebrated. And before I've said these words, they have pride in it. The world says, let's have pride in this. There's nothing new under the sun. There was a time when Paul was writing his letter to the Romans, and those who knew God, so they even had an awareness of God in those days, turned away and did what they pleased. If you flick back to the beginning of Romans, Romans 1 and verse 32, Romans 1:32, it says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. It's celebrated. Come on, let's have a party with this stuff. If people don't know of their sin, how on earth can they be saved with a final destination of heaven? I think someone said it before, I can't remember who said it, so if it was you, thank you. But God is a fair God. He's going to give people exactly what they want at the end of time. When they stand before him, they've rejected God their whole lives. God's going, that's what you chose. You rejected me. You can have that. If you don't choose God in this life, God will respect that. But ask most folk, and it's funny, whether they believe in God or not, ask them, are you going to go to heaven? And most people would say, I'd like to think so. I think I mentioned this when we did the Guerrilla Christian thing in the school. All the kids, oh, I don't believe in God. No, don't believe God. Oh, no way. All this, all the arguments, questions are. I'm like, okay, so are you going to go to heaven? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I'm, what, with a God that doesn't exist? And you could almost see the penny dropping. They like the idea of heaven, but the natural rebellion for God is there. And this is why I think this series has been so important. Sin does drag us into the shadows. It does turn people against each other. It is the ultimate destruction of the image of God and his creation when the enemy entices another soul away or traps them in that place of sin. And this is where we're going to bring this into land this week as we finish up this series. I want to come back to the good news that it's all about God restoring that broken relationship with him and that obedience to follow him. This message is not popular. If you were to go out and say, turn from your sinful ways and follow God, be obedient. They all seem to be words that might be seen to be negative, but to the Christian, you kind of go, I cling on to that God who is so faithful and powerful, and I know he can do all things, and I know one day he's coming back for me. This is good news. And we need to have that passion about it. When we go and share folk like, oh, yeah, you're welcome, church, really good. Yeah, we're all full of joy. Yeah, it's great. You know, oh, you want to come see God? Fabulous, yeah, yeah. You can tell it's all over my face, can't you? You know, we've got to be passionate about this. This is the most amazing news. It is all about Jesus. It is all about God's grace and my restored relationship with God. I've got a new hope and I've got a new purpose in my life. I'm not looking like some ragged, salty sea dog with salt in my beard or whatever else, you know, sailing around the world, hanging on for grim death. At the moment, God's got a purpose in my life and I love it. And he's coming back for us. And one day all the sorrow and the pain and the death and the mourning, he's going to wipe away every tear and we're going to have an eternity with him. And that just makes me so fired up that I want everybody to know. I want everybody to know. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jordan. Brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. You see, Micah 6:8 says this, and remember, he was addressing Israel at this time, but I do believe it applies to us today. Micah 6:8, what does God want from us? Our offerings, silver, gold, big buildings. Hey, get enough cash, I can rule the whole world. You know, does God want all of that stuff? It's actually worthless to God, isn't it? Listen, he made it, and he could make more. Or he could make it bigger or better. But what is it that God wants? What is it that God wants? He desires a relationship with us, with people that choose him. In this world, we're told to pursue many things, whether it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, mortgages, pensions, equality, YouTube status, whatever fame it is that people are after nowadays. They're really some kind of replacement therapy for that God-shaped hole. And actually, Aaron was here and I was thinking back to his message. You know, that man had tried lots of things. And for many of us in the room, we've tried lots of things to try and fill that hole. And nothing satisfies us when we actually meet with God. Meeting with God is the best thing. It is the best thing. And if it's not, have you really connected with God? If you're not fired up for God this morning, have you really connected with him? Have you really experienced that power of forgiveness in your life that says, wow, he forgave me. And as he forgives me, I forgive others. You see, God wants a relationship with us. This is good news, really good news, and it gets better. There's nothing we can do or give to him of value that God desires other than our love and to see us living at peace with each other. And bonus points, we get that joy unspeakable, that joy that fills our lives. And if that's not your experience of God this morning, then what is God saying to you? What is that thing that you need to deal with this morning? The message of the cross is not going to be popular. Guarantee if you go out there and you point, can we do it now? You worthless sinner, I'm not going to tell you to do that. But actually, what are we? You know, we're in rebellion to God, and the cross, the message of the cross, people think that that's foolishness. But actually, the message of the cross and Jesus, the message of Jesus, he says we're not going to be liked if we go out and share this message. It's not going to earn us favoritism in this world. Is that what we're after? Following on from the Beatitudes, and we looked at the Beatitudes a little while back, Jesus spoke about us being the salt of the earth. If you dive into Matthew 5, these are Jesus' words recorded to us about being salt of the earth and light of the world. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, and this is where we're going to come into close. Take these words this morning, Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Jesus is speaking here and he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, good deeds done with the power of God, because we know what we're doing, because we've got a restored relationship with him. We're praying, we're listening, and he's speaking to us, and we go and do these things. Guys, we've got to step out of the shadows. That's why this message, I believe, this series is so important. Step out of the shadows. Let's shake off anything that hinders us. What is hindering us this morning? What is hindering you? Is there something God is still saying and he's put his finger on it? And as I'm talking this morning, I believe there's folk here this morning, God is saying something to you. And are you going to hang on to it or are you going to give it over to him? Let us remove the shadows of sin where the enemy has a foothold in our lives. Let us confess our sins to one another and spur one another on to the life that God has called us to in Christ Jesus. And I finish with these words. Living removes the shadow of sin. But actually, that's all I got on my bit of paper. But as I was praying about the message this morning, I felt God say, no, living well removes the shadow of sin. The question is do you want that? And we've said it before, do you want it now?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.